I most effectively persuade people by listening to them. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I most effectively persuade people by listening to them. If you would ever like to get someone's attention, listen to them. You will say, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. And they just go right on. And then you listen to them. You give them your 100% attention. And they think to themselves, my goodness, this person cares about me. This person thinks I'm worthwhile. This person thinks everything is pretty good and wonderful. That's pretty exciting. He cares about me. Now, how about you? Do you care about yourself? Do you care about your world? Do you ever listen to yourself? Do you ever listen to the divine within you? Now, I take the morning path, and you say, Herb, why do you go on the morning path? Why do you meditate? I mean, you're already an ascended master and all that sort of stuff. You don't need to do all those things, you know. And I say, thank you very much for seeing me that way. That must mean you're an ascended master, too. Very good. How do you do, Mr. Ascended Master? Very good, you know. Very good. Okay, so why do I do those things? Because it works. It works. I sit on the bench, and I just look off into the distance, and I don't see anything. I just am looking inside myself, and I'm listening inside myself, and I'm saying to myself, it's a wonderful day. And I answer myself, yes, it is. And I say, I am surrounded by the most beautiful people in the world here on campus. They just come and go, the most beautiful people in the world who just love to be here and take the beautiful vibrations from here and that they brought and take them all over the world and share them everywhere. It's so wonderful. Now, how do you really effectively listen to your divine self? You say, well, I most effectively persuade people by listening to them. Well, you know what a people is? A people is yourself. A people is your divine self. A people is your introspective self, that part of you that listens to the divine. Now, if you say, I don't know how to introspect, I don't know how to meditate, I don't know how to do all these things, I never have any luck when I'm going listening within, you know, wanting to hear God and me talk to me. It never works. I say, that's great. That's beautiful. You're fulfilling exactly what you want to do. What do you mean? I want to listen to God in me. I want to hear what God in me is saying. No, you don't. Do you ever talk when your mother or father is talking to you? And then they say, now listen to me. You say, I am listening. And no, you're not. You really show disrespect to them. Now, you show disrespect to your mother and father, and you think that, well, that's life. And you show disrespect to your friends talk, and you don't stop and listen to them. You think that what you're doing is far more important, and you just have another conversation when something's going on. Here at campus, we have a rule. We have a gun here. It's a great big elephant gun. And I will shoot any person who does not stop and listen when someone else is speaking. So in other words, we're sitting around the table here speaking. And if Ellen starts speaking, we listen to her. If Ingeborg starts speaking, we listen to her. And if Sylvia wants a secret conversation with Dorothea, we shoot them both. Because there are no secret conversations here. If you want secret conversations, you go in the bathroom. You go somewhere else, you know. But here, we are all together. We're all sharing together. If what you have to say to her is worth her hearing, it's worth our hearing. First day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's true. And we should respect ourselves enough that if what we have to say can be whispered to somebody else, it should be said out loud to everyone. Now you say, well, Herb, sometimes some of the things you say shouldn't be said out loud, you know. And I say, why? Did you get the illustration this morning? You sure did. And you're not going to forget it. You're not going to forget it. Comparing. Yeah. Comparing. Judging. We don't judge. We don't compare. We know who we are, and we live who we are. Now, back to, I most effectively persuade people by listening to them. Let's just say, I most effectively persuade my divine to reveal itself to me by listening to it. You hear that? I most effectively do it. Now, if you will start treating your divine like another person, see, you're listening to that divine self. I don't really want you to do that. I don't really want you to think of your divine as separate from yourself. You understand that? Because it's not separate. It's you. But for the purpose of getting a conscious idea of it, if I'm talking to you, then I'm listening to you and I'm talking to you. I'm sharing. And I see you. And I can see that I'm talking to somebody. I'm sharing with somebody. But when you listen to your divine, it is not always an evident thing. It's not always a physical thing. And you say, I'm not getting any results. Here I'm talking to my God self, and I don't even know what's going on. You know, nothing's happening. And that's true. Because you do it so seldom. And when you start practicing doing it, listening to the divine within yourself, you practice just as though you're talking to another person. Just as though you're listening to what another person has to say. And when you listen to what another person has to say, you don't always agree with it, and you don't always follow it, but at least you listen. And so when you listen consciously to your divine within you, you may not always agree with it, and you may not always follow it. Ellen is a perfect example of this. I will say to Ellen something very nice, and Ellen say, oh, is that really true? Is that really for sure? Is that really true? You really mean that? You know, this incredulity, this incredulousness, it's destructive. Do you really believe that? That's like saying, you're a liar. You have the capacity to say something that's not true, and you're a liar, and you shouldn't say things to me like that, even if it's true, you know, because that's just too good to be true, you know. And we do that, all of us. We do that. She's just been putting on a show for us because she's teaching that too. But we do that. And why do we do that? We do that because we're not used to having that good come to us. Dan, you ate two slices of bread when you came here. And those two slices of bread completely released all habits in you that you wanted to release. Just like that. Forever. Now, it's not, you're not the first time. I've done that with others. But it releases habit. Boom! Because if you didn't believe in me before, you are coming around to seeing that I know what I'm doing. And I do. Now, you know what Daniel said the other day? He said, I know how to fix cars. And I said, I didn't say this, but I could have said it. I could have said, Daniel, how do you know how to fix cars? Did you go to school to learn how to be a mechanic? Were you instructed by some of the outstanding mechanics of the world? Where did you learn how to fix cars? And he said, well, I bought $100 cars and I had to fix them to keep them running, to make them go. And he said, that's a very good incentive to learn mechanics, you know, because if you can do it yourself, then you can afford your $100 cars. And if you can't do it yourself, then you need expensive cars that are already in good condition or that go to the garage and what have you. But you see, he believes in himself. He has learned to listen within and follow his own judgment about being a mechanic. Now, that's the same technique you use in listening to the divine within. Do you think that the divine mechanic within him is telling him how to be a good mechanic? You bet your life. Is the divine all things? You bet. Is it a carpenter? Is it a mechanic? Is it a father? Where do you think all of these men and women who have children learn how to be a parent? They didn't learn it from their parents. They were too young at the time. Their parents were doing what they were doing with them when they were too little to pay attention. Now, each person, to a degree, tunes in to their divine, teacher, teaching them how to be a parent. Some people listen, and some people don't. Now, Ellen, she's just born. And my divine says, you like a quiet kid or a loud kid? I said, I like a quiet kid. So the divine says, okay. See her content, happy. See her amused by herself. See her delighted with everything in life. See her just curious about everything and happy all the time. Oh boy, don't I wish that were so. Well, you lost it. If you say, right, yes, sir, how high should I jump? To your divine self. And then listen. And then I say to Ellen, you are a wonderful child. You are a loving child. You are a quiet, sensitive, caring child. And she turns to me and says, it's all this stuff you're feeding me. My divine and me told me about it. Oh, okay. I just had to make sure you were on the right track. So I tell her she's a quiet, gentle, loving child. What kind of child will she be?
Exactly that.
Exactly that. She will be exactly whatever I put in consciousness for her. Some parents are kind of upset and uptight, and they're running around with their head cut off, you know, and they're like a chicken, you know, and they don't really know what's going on. And so their kids are the same way. Their kids are scatterbrained. Their kids are having all sorts of difficulties. And then along comes Grandma. And Grandma takes the kids, and Mama goes off to do whatever. And Grandma's got the kids for a while. And Grandma says, in my house, these are the rules. You are quiet, loving, gentle. You put your things away. You sit quietly at the table before you come to the table. You wash your hands. Prepare yourself for the meal. This is what we do at my house. I don't want them. Then you go out and play in the backyard. You're not welcome at my table until you're willing to follow the rules of my table. Now, you all know, no, you don't. There's a couple of us here who know. We came up in a generation where our mother said, you're not bringing a woman in this house until you're married. You're not bringing a man in this house until you're married. There is no sex in my house until you're married. Now, that was just one of the rules. Mother always said to us, I don't want you having sex until you get married. You know, I don't want you having any babies and that sort of stuff. And that was just the way it was back in the 20s and 30s, you know, maybe the 40s. But that's just the way we were raised. Now, today they have different standards, but I think they really have the same standards. It's just that no one has learned to enforce them. How many grandmothers? You know, I've met a number of people who were raised by their grandmothers, and they're outstanding. Well, yeah, like Gertrude. Gertrude is raising her two grandchildren, and her son is out carousing around having a great time. And so Mama, Grandma takes care of the kids, and those kids are exquisite. They are beautiful. Their parents live in different houses with different families and so forth like that, and there's a little confusion. But Grandma is the anchor. And those children know that there are rules. And so then they take Grandma's rules and they go to Mama's house. And they take Grandma's rules and go to Papa's house. And they live a beautiful, sensitive, caring life. They're brilliant kids, too. They're doing well in school. They are creative. They're balanced. And they're wholesome, even though their homes are a little bit torn apart. But they're wonderful. Now, did Grandma learn that first time around with the kids, with her own kids? Well, the first time around with her own kids, she was learning the rules. She was figuring out how to do it. Now she's got it figured out. And now she's doing it with her grandchildren. And what a blessing those grandchildren have. They are super, right? Yeah, have you met Sabrina and Jerome? You met Jerome, no? Oh, my goodness. Well, they're great kids. Now, she's listening to the divine within. She was too busy to listen when she was a young mother, you know, because she had all these things on her mind, all these problems and so forth, and no one had ever taught her. And then she started coming to God Unlimited University of Healing, and she started to realize that she is God. She is the creator of her world. She is the one who's in charge of everything. And then she applied that to her children, and everything worked out just beautifully. You see, this is what's up for us. We can listen to the divine within. We can listen to who we really are. We can effectively persuade people by listening to them. We can effectively persuade our divine to reveal itself to us by listening to it. If we don't listen to our divine, why should it show off to us, you know? It's interesting, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and God says, hey, kids, come out here. We can't, we're naked. What do you mean you're naked, you know? What do you mean you're naked? See, right away, they move into another realm, a realm of guilt, because they had messed up. Presumably God had said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate of it, and they messed themselves up. One bite, perhaps, from one apple does it. And one listening within for just a moment and following it and believing it will open up the door for you for all of your life. Now, Heinz, are we ever too young to do this? Heinz is shaking his head, no. We are never too young to do this. Heinz doesn't realize that we're on tape here. And are we ever too old to do it?
No.
Mr. Daniel?
No.
We're never too old. And why is it that we're never too old? Now, it concerns being old. Why is it we're never too old? Anybody want to give an answer?
We're as old as we
What's that?
Because we're as old as we feel we are.
Well, that's a point.
There's
but
no age.
There is no age. You see, we are eternally young. We are immortal. We live forever, but we pretend we don't. And so we give ourselves the illusion of having old bodies or young bodies. We give ourselves the illusion of age and of not being able to do things. You've read in the newspapers and magazines about senators, especially in the South, in their 80s and 90s, still being elected to the Senate and going there and doing a job in their 80s and 90s. Now, why don't they do it in their hundreds? Well, they just thought that was doing pretty good. And it is. But the thing is, this is what we should all do. We should be in our 80 and 90, 100 year old, which is what we are, and living in our youthful, dynamic, vital bodies, happy, harmonious, and fantastic. This is the important thing. But you cannot do that unless you persuade your inner self to reveal itself to you, who you really are. Listen to the God in you. Listen to the divine in you, and let it tell you how wonderful you are. And then don't be incredulous. Believe. Believe that when your divine self says, you are a wonderful person, you're wonderful. Pick up your chin, stick out your chest, and walk around feeling great. Not superior, just feeling great. I walk the path in the morning, and I put my hands behind me sometimes. You know how you do, walking in a meditative way. And then I realize, especially if the sun, the moon is shining, I mean, my head is bending down, my chest is bending down, and I don't want to walk like that. So I take my hands from beside me, and I put them down my side, and I chin up, you know, and I'm walking along, and I just feel a whole different when I'm all straightened up, you know. When I'm bent over, I'm meditating, I'm cogitating, I'm thinking deep thoughts. But when I stand up straight, I like myself. I like myself, and I think that's wonderful. And you see, this is what we can do. When we learn to listen within, when we learn to persuade other people in our world who are our creation, by our listening to them, we don't have to endorse what they say, but we listen to them. Here at the table today, a number of negative comments were made about different things, and I said, hey, no, we don't talk about the bad weather, we don't talk about the problems, we don't empower those things because we don't want those things in our life. We empower the divine in us to to be revealed 100% in every word we speak and every idea we have. Now, well, Herb, sometimes you say bad words. Oh, how do you know they're bad words? Are you interpreting them? Are you judging them? Why are you hearing them? They're probably not even there. Maybe they're something you made up at that moment, and maybe they're not. So think on these things. It's a wonderful thing to think on. I most effectively persuade people by listening to them. I most effectively persuade my divine within me to reveal itself to me by listening to it. I am the divine within me, and I am wonderful. I love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And remember that there is only one thing you need to say about yourself, and that is, I love me, I love me, I love me. And I say, I love you, I love you, I love you.